Philippians 2, remember that this is one of the good churches. It won't record? Why? Is it recording on the tape? Or do you know? Well, I didn't. I didn't have time to get that going, so we'll either get it or we won't. Looking at Philippians chapter 2, where Paul stated to the church at Philippi, which was a good congregation, as it were, one of the better congregations that we find in the New Testament. And he says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So after he says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, we find at the same time that he says to work, to do all things without murmurings and disputings. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as we have said at several times throughout these messages, the Lord gives the admonition to the best of churches and to the worst of churches, because the church of Corinth had a lot of problems there. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And remember who the destroyer is. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and those who did not have the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels, the destroyer went through and killed the firstborn. The destroyer went through and killed the firstborn. In other words, God. God. And we are given the admonition as New Testament Christians here in two places that we're not to murmur. And that was an example for us that the destroyer not bring judgment upon us. Now we know that the child of God, the only type of judgment that God brings upon him is chastisement. But the wrath of God comes upon the wicked. We have been looking, since that the scriptures tells us that those things were examples, we have been looking at Israel and how horrible murmuring is. Every one of us, every individual here, is plagued with murmuring. Every one of us have murmured at one time or the other. The problem is that we not have a murmuring spirit on a continual nature. It's one thing to... let me say it this way. David committed adultery. But he did not make that a habit of his lifestyle. He did not go around on a continual basis committing adultery and murdering some of his chosen vessels and faithful men. He did commit murder. He did commit adultery. But we would not say that David lived the life of a murderer and an adulterer. And that's the thing that I'm trying to bring to our attention, that we not live the life of a murmurer. We're all plagued with it. You say, well, I'm not. Well, then you're not. You've risen above the rest of us folks, and so you're not a sinner anymore. But no one has done that, and so that's not the case. I ran into a man several years ago, said he hadn't sinned in 20 years. And I read to him from 1 John, said, any man says he has not a sinner, he's a liar. So I said, you've just already committed one, you just lied. Then he blew up and got mad. I said, you just committed another one. And he said, no, I didn't. I just got righteously indignant. So you can't convince a person that refuses to be convinced. Murmuring. We have seen that this is no little sin. This is a sin of the greatest of magnitude. We have seen that murmurers are those that continually speak against authority. It doesn't matter what the authority is. Primarily in the Old Testament, the examples that we saw of complaining against authority, they were complaining against Moses and Aaron. And we also have seen so far that any time that you complain against a proper authority, you're complaining against God. You're complaining against God. Ultimately, when we murmur about any situation in life, we are murmuring and complaining against God and His providential dealings with us. We saw at the outset that 3 days after the children of Israel were delivered out of Egyptian bondage and God led them to Marah, the bitter waters, they complained, they murmured. And we have noted more than once that God often brings trials and afflictions in our lives to prove us, to show to ourselves, not to Him, He knows what we are, to prove to us just what is in us. I even made the statement to Jill yesterday, talking about all of the sicknesses and not being able to assemble and so on and so forth. I said, when I began preaching on murmuring, I never realized how much trials and afflictions that we might be going through just from the flu. And I'm sure that there have been many things in your lives other than the flu that has caused you or tempted you to have a complaining, griping, murmuring spirit. God has told us in Philippians, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Don't stir up trouble with your murmurings and complaints and gripings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to be a huge beacon to the world to say, don't come this way. Or don't go that way. To come this way, not go the other way. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We finished last Lord's Day with the Old Testament and began in the New, and we took up in the New Testament where the good man of the house, and our Lord gave this, the good man of the house went out and he hired some at the at the beginning of the day and said he would give them a penny to work all day long. Then he went out at the ninth hour, at 9 o'clock, or went out at the at 9 o'clock, and in the morning he said, "Go and work, and whatever's right, I'll give you." Then at 12 o'clock he went out and he said, told them to go and work. At 3 o'clock some went out, and at the 11th hour he went out and some went and worked. Now you think about it, people. When it come at the end of the day, those that had been working all day long, he gave them a penny. They thought, boy, we're going to get a lot more. First of all, he gave this one a penny that only worked 1 hour. He gave this one a penny, this one a penny, this one a penny, and then that one a penny. Our point it was that murmurers are not content with their wages. They said, "That's not fair. We worked all day long and you gave them a penny. They just worked 1 hour. And we worked all day long. And you gave us a penny. We worked for 12 hours. See, they didn't have the modern 8-hour work day. They had the work day that the Bible assigned from 6 hours. I mean, for 12 hours. 6 in the morning, 6 at night. You think about that the next time boss comes along and commends somebody else and they don't commend you. I deserve better than that. They just looked over me. They just did me this way. They did me that way. God in His providence allowed that to happen to you to show you something about your murmuring, griping, bellyaching, complaining spirit. You say, "Well, we have rights." We may have a lot of laws that man have made, but what I'm talking about is there that which God has given to us. Murmurers are also jealous and covetous. Look in Mark chapter 14. We see covetousness here. I mean, you think about it. If you've been out there in a cornfield, in a hot July day, hoeing corn. You young folks don't know what that's about. Hoeing corn all day long, and somebody comes out and gives another man, lets him work out there for an hour, and gives you the same thing he gives the other man. You'd say that's not right, unless God reminded you of the biblical principle. What is the biblical principle? The biblical principle is that the man who is in authority has the right to do what he wills with his possessions. The man who is in authority has the right to do what he wills with his possessions. A lot of times, you'll drive down the road and you'll see some junky house and somebody will say, "Boy, somebody ought to make them clean that up." Well, I don't like the junky house either. But I usually say it's his property. He has the right to do with it, with whatever he wishes. Think about that. You say, "Well, it's a public eyesore." It might be a public eyesore to you, but it might not be to them. That's the biblical principle. Jesus said the man was a good man. And Jesus gave the principle of the good man. He said, "Why are you evil when the good man was right?" I could preach on that for a long time. But just let that sink in and we'll go on. Lest I belabor the point more than it ought to be belabored. Well, I don't think we could in our latitudinarian society when man and government thinks that they ought to steal from everybody else and give to everyone else. We have a Robin Hood mentality. We always think we like Robin Hood. He steals from the rich and gives to the poor. That is ungodly. That is ungodly. Stealing is always wrong. And those who are always crying that we should give more to the poor hardly ever give themselves. They hardly ever give themselves. I'm reminded of David Crockett when he was in the Senate, and one of the senators had died, and another senator wanted to take some of the government funds and give to the poor widow that was left behind. And Davy Crockett stood up in the midst of all and said, in effect, it is not yours to give. God has not, that we have been put here in a position of authority to use the funds of the people, and it is not for public welfare. And when the bill, when the vote was taken, and according to what Crockett had said, it was not passed, then he took his hat off and passed it around for all to give. And if I remember correctly, he was the largest giver himself. People are quick to give everybody else's money away. But Mark chapter 14, we find here again that murmurers are jealous and covetous. Murmurers are jealous, and they're covetous. Mark 14:3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? Now they didn't dare speak out loud. Notice, most of the murmuring is within yourself. You remember old Abiram and Dathan and them? Where did they murmur? In their tents. They murmured in their tents. Most murmurers, some are not that away. Some are so brazen they don't care. But most murmurers gripe and bellyache, but they don't have enough guts to say it face to face. But they said they had indignation. Oh, it made them mad. I hear this woman took some precious ointment and poured it on the head of the master. Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Yes, it might have been. But they murmured against her. How many times have you griped and complained at what others have done because you didn't think it was right? Let me give you a case in point. Not that I have anyone in mind, but I have seen at times that an individual or a congregation or a group of people have seen a need of someone, and they have pooled their resources together and given some money for that individual or family or whatever the case may be. And when the recipient did not spend the money as the giver thought they should have given it, they griped and complained. You know what the problem is? Jealousy, covetousness, self-authority, and the money wasn't given in the right spirit. For if it were given in the right spirit, the blessing was in the giving, The blessing is not how the recipient used it. But we want to control the lives of others. We want to say how others ought to spend or use their possessions. This woman had the precious ointment. It didn't belong to anybody else but her. And here she takes the ointment and she puts it on the head of the Master. But those who were full of jealousy, those who were full of indignation, those who got mad over it, murmured and complained. Murmurers also complain about social status and religious status. Let's look at this in Luke chapter 5 first. You ever complain because somebody else had a better car or better house or better job or better fishing rod or better you know what than you do? Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. Nash believed this Levi was Matthew. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" What are you doing associating with those folks? You know, people like to tell you where to go and who to have company with. And Jesus answered, and Jesus answering said unto them, notice they didn't murmur to Jesus. They murmured to the disciples. But Jesus answered them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, Jesus didn't go into the house of ill repute. You don't go down to the beach where everybody's walking around naked to witness. That's not what this is teaching. But it is teaching that you do not try to be a self-righteous Pharisee yourself to the world. A man invited him into his house. He went home with him. Your next door neighbor might be a heathen, but it doesn't mean that you can't sit down and eat with him or have a cookout with him. Now, you don't make him your close confidant. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about the fact that we are to, and I'm not trying to pick out who your friends are and so on and so forth. The Scriptures definitely says that he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And naturally, we ought to be friendly. We must show ourselves friendly. We don't need to be a jerk. I've got a lot of friends at work. I do not countenance their lifestyle. Some of them very well know that. But I'm not going to try to be a jerk around them. I have to work with them. And I'll try to talk to them in casual, everyday conversations and talk about work. And if I can, in a nice, in a general way, and not to be offensive, I'll talk to them about the Bible. And they know that I will. But God didn't put me in that job to preach. He put me in that job to do the job that the employer requires me to do. And it is just such people that need help. They need a lot of help. Jesus said, I did not call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And we need to work around those from time to time in such a way that we might be able to encourage them to repent. But the Pharisees had a religious status and a social status that they were not going to get outside of their social status. They figured that if they got outside their social status, as soon as they got home, they had to take a bath. They were filthy. They were dirty. In fact, if the shadow of a Gentile fell upon them when they got home, they washed off. Murmuring. Murmurers. We see a lot about the spirit of a murmurer. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, we see again the spirit of murmuring. Luke 15:1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They complain about social status, religious status. He receives sinners. Beloved, if you don't receive a sinner, I'm out of here. Because I'm a sinner. And I'm here to declare, according to the Scriptures, you are too. We have to put up with each other. You may not like me. I might not like you or some of your ways. You might not like some of my ways. But the Christian spirit is we put up with each other. We love one another. We look over at one another for good. Why do we do that? Same reason that Christ looks over us for good. God hasn't accepted me because I've graduated. God has accepted me because I'm in Christ. And I'm to accept you, and you're to accept me because I'm in Christ. That's the Christian spirit. If not, you'll be griping and bellyaching and complaining. I can rub you the wrong way. You can rub me the wrong way. But what we try to do is live in such a way that we don't rub each other. That's the Christian spirit. The Christian spirit is, you're better than I am. The Christian spirit, we're to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and to esteem our brother better than ourselves. The murmurer thinks he's better. The murmurer thinks everybody else is worse than he is. The murmurer is blind. The murmurer is evil. The murmurer is wicked. We've seen that as we look through. You remember old Dathan and Abiram talking to Moses? Who do you think you are? I mean, Dathan and Abiram and those folks, they had jobs in and around the temple, but they wanted to be inside where Aaron was. Well, the Lord put them inside. He put them inside of a pit. Along with their whole family. They lost their wives, their children, and all their possessions. You see, when our Lord commanded us by the mouth of the Apostle Paul from Corinthians and Philippians not to murmur, He hid us right between the eyes where we live every day. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so the Calvinist wants to take that and he wants to slam the Arminian. The Arminian want to take that and explain it away. Well, God didn't put it there for religious controversy. He put it there for us to live. And if we're not doing that, then it's pretty evident God hasn't worked in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, then it looks like that He hasn't worked in us according to His irresistible power. One other along this line in Luke 19. You know, it is this kind of spirit that tears up work relations, tears up families, and tears up congregations. Destroys kingdoms. Luke 19. I'll just begin at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. In other words, he was the chief tax collector. He was rich. Most tax collectors are. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He'd been one of those in a crowd trying to jump up and down to get a view of somebody. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. I don't think I need to elaborate. We've stated enough on the first two verses to show this point. Murmurers find it difficult to believe the truth. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Murmurers find it difficult to believe the truth. A murmurer, if he can't see it in his own reasoning and in his own thinking, he's not going to believe what anybody says, particularly the Word of God. He'll explain it away. But we find here in John chapter 6, Jesus had already stated in verse 35 that He was the bread of heaven. He said that He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of the Father which had sent Him. And so on. And that He would not lose nothing, and He would raise it up at the last day. And then verse 41, the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? And how is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? In other words, they were not willing to realize and know that Jesus is the issue. He always was, he always will be. That's the issue. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verse 43, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Don't gripe and complain about the fact that nobody can go to Christ unless God draw him. People say, I don't like that. Well, you're murmuring to God. He said, I don't understand that. I just can't have that. That's what Jesus said. He said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Well, what does that draw mean? It's the same word when it says Peter drew the sword out of his sheath. It's the same word that is used when the disciples cast the net and drew in the fish. That sword didn't cooperate with Peter. That sword didn't jump out of Peter's hand and out of Peter's sheath and then just jump into his hand. Those fishes didn't just say, "Hey, I want in the net," and jump over into the net and say, "I'll swim along with you." No, they were drugged with that irresistible force. And when God draws a sinner to Christ, He comes. The people murmur at that. Well, I tell you, I'm thankful for that. If God hadn't have drawn with irresistible force, I wouldn't be here today. I can tell you, ashamedly, I wouldn't have been then, but I can tell you with shamefacedness, I enjoyed my sinful life. It didn't bother me of what I did. And I had no intentions of going to Christ. I had every intention of trying to keep a good name in the community and not to get on the bad side of my mother and daddy. But I didn't care what God thought. And it didn't bother me that I might be in hell someday. God drew this sinner with irresistible force. And if He hadn't, I wouldn't be here today. Nor would any other be willing to listen to the Word of God if God had not drawn them with irresistible force. But murmurers don't want to see the truth. And sometimes Christians can be offended at truth. They won't live the life of a murmurer, but they can be offended at truth. You say, well, now how can that be? Drop on down into John chapter 6. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue here, and in verse 60 He said, many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you? Are you offended at God? Are you offended that God has given something that He hasn't given you? Sometimes we can be offended. Murmurers usually are in bad company and do their murmuring to advance themselves. Jude 16 is the verse. We may read one or two above it. I'll just read verse 16. These are murmurers. Who are murmurers? Well, He has given ungodly men that have crept in unawares, in verse 4. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. And before that, the angels that left their first estate in verse 6, Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. He talks about filthy dreamers that despise dominions and speak evil of dignities in verse 8. He talks about those of Cain and Balaam and Korah in verse 11. And He talks about Enoch, the seventh from Adam, who was a prophet, that prophesied that the Lord would come with 10,000 of His saints to, verse 15, execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their ungodly hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. And then he says and summarizes in verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Here are people that will gripe, bellyache, complain about everything, and because of that, we find that they are individuals that are they do what they want to do, and they're trying to use men for their own promotion. Kind of like the little boy that he tried and tried and tried, and he could never hit a home run. The other little boy comes up, he hits the ball pretty easily, and every once in a while he gets a home run, and the other little boy says, well, if I was big and fat like he was, I could do it too. You know? They always want to say what's wrong with something else or why the other person can do it and they can't. In other words, it's never the fact that I'm wrong. It's never the fact that I'm the one that's wrong. Murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. We normally think of their own lust as something like fornication or adultery or murder or something like that. It can just be walking after our own desires. I'm going to do what I want to do. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Ah, when you hear them speak, you'd think Solomon's dog had bit them. Well, they think so anyway. You know, they think wisdom resides within them. They've got all the answers. Nobody else knows anything. They know it all. And they have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Oh, they'll get around some folks and they'll admire some folks because those some folks can benefit them. That's the spirit of a murmurer. That's the spirit of complainer. Let us not be kept with that. Having said all of that, what's our exhortation? First of all, we are to keep in memory, we are to remember that we're nothing but slaves of Christ. I don't like that. Well, you're a slave whether you like it or not. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. You're not your own. You don't have a right to think what you want to think. You only have a right to do what God tells you to do. And the Lord has the right to do with us as He pleases. Let that sink in. You say, well, God doesn't do anything to us. We either do sin and we're the results of what we do, and God has nothing to do with that. Well, I've just asked you to read the Bible with open eyes and see what all God does. Is a man born blind or dumb? God told Moses that, have I not made man's mouth? Have I not made man dumb or able to speak? You remember what in John, in the Gospel of John, the disciples said about this blind man? Said, Lord, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that this man was born blind? Think about that. Jesus didn't say they had bad theology necessarily. Notice what they said. Did this man sin that he was born blind? Well, when could he have sinned? In his mother's womb. So, well, that's impossible. David said, I was a sinner from conception. We can't comprehend that. We don't understand that. But Jesus didn't say, hey, you've got bad theology. He couldn't sin. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents. But he was born blind that God might be glorified. God allows things in our lives to come for His glory. I was set on a path to destruction. One of the top five athletes in my high school of a certain ability. And God let me break my neck. Cut me off from sinning. I didn't know that then. I had no fear of God then. I didn't have enough fear to be afraid that I might even be that way for the rest of my life. I was so arrogant and I was so haughty, I said, I'm going to get up out of here. Oh, I'll make it. I'll do it. I'm here to say that we need to realize that we're God's and He can do with us with whatever He wills. Paul in Romans 9, but he said that God would have mercy on who He would have mercy. And He'd have compassion on whom He would have compassion. And He said He raised Pharaoh up to show, to magnify His power. He said, now you're going to say to me, in light of all that I've said, why does God find fault for who has resisted God's will? And Paul didn't try to go into philosophical arguments to answer that. He said, man, who are you to question God? Now, usually that verse of Scripture is used in theological confrontations with regard to Arminianism or Calvinism or whatever you want to call all of that. But, beloved, it has practical applications to our everyday lives. Who are we to question God with what He does? Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? This is just not fair. You ever said that? I know you have. You ever thought it? I know you have. Is God on His throne? Oh yes, God's on His throne, but what? But I don't deserve this. Who said you don't? With man, you may not. David didn't deserve for his son to run him out of Jerusalem and to try to kill him. And David didn't deserve old Shimei to stand up there on the hill and throw rocks at him and ridicule him. And one of David's mighty men said, let me go over there and take his head off. David said, no, you leave him alone. God may hear him. And God may bless me. But you leave him alone. Now when it come time to fight the giant, a few years before that, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He went out there and took the giant's head off. But when David was in a predicament, in whom did he trust? Did he try to fight his way out of it and argue his way out of it? He submitted to God. He was God's slave. He was God's servant. I remember on one occasion David was off, and I believe it was at Ziklag that he was living, and when he came back home, some of the enemy had come and taken off all of the wives and children and everything, and David's mighty men were all upset at him and everybody, and they all wanted to stone David, I believe it was. They were all down on David. Thought of that passage many a times. And it said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Beloved, it might be sometime that everybody's against you and nobody's there to stand with you. David didn't murmur, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. So, in order to not have the spirit of murmuring, we must keep in mind that we're servants of Christ. We're slaves of Christ, and He has the right to do with us whatever He wills. And then the second thing we ought to do is to delight in Christ and delight in His cause and to delight in His glory. I tell you, when you are rejoicing in Christ, it's hard for anyone to get you down. You remember the man that was lame at the feet of, lame in his feet at the gate at Jerusalem, the beautiful gate, and Peter and John went there, and he begged for an alms, and they said, "We don't have any money. We're just poor preachers. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And I mean, this fellow went leaping and rejoicing. People were griping and bellyaching about it. Man that was born blind and Jesus healed him. I mean, they brought him before the Sanhedrin council, and they tried to get him to say that the man that healed him was a sinner. And he said, "Oh, man, this is a marvelous thing in your eyes." He said, "How can a man born blind and somebody come along and heal him? Why are you griping and bellyaching about it?" You know, he was happy and, you know, brought his parents in there. And the parents said, "We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to be cast out of the synagogue." And they cast him out and he was happy. He delighted in the things of God. Beloved, when we delight in the things of God, when things come our way, if somebody lies about us, you know what we're going to do? We're going to jump up and down, as Luke said. We're going to jump up and down and rejoice that we were blessed to be counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. So the second thing we ought to do is delight in Christ. That's your delight. Delight in His cause. Delight in His glory, His kingdom. And then the third thing. I'm only giving you three things to do to overcome murmuring. Naturally, God must work in you. That's without question. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. I run into people every day that gripe and complain about their job. They want a better job. They'd like to find a better job. They'd like to be out of there. They'd like to be this. They'd like to be that. You got it mighty good. You got a lot better than you think. Could be worse. Most times, yeah, you're right. Sometimes, well, they say they don't know how it could be worse. I remind them of the job I had one time. You walk in the doors and the roaches started running. First day I sat down at the desk. This is the front door. This is not the back door. This is at a pharmaceutical company, by the way. They make food-grade lubricant spray for Kraft Foods and other folks. Sat down at that desk. Opened the drawer to get a pen and hear the roaches went. Yeah, you can have a worse situation. You can have a worse place to work. I was thankful they also made an insect spray. When I found that, my desk and 5 feet around it was fumigated every week. One of the bosses was an older gentleman. Sometimes he'd come over and look at some of the reports and look over my neck and drool on the desk and on the papers. I thank God I had a job. The best job I'd ever had, I lost. Because the boss wanted his son in my position. So he put his son in my position. I didn't have a work. And then I went to minimum wage in a roach-infested environment. And I tell you, I was thankful to have a job. It wasn't the best of circumstances. And sometimes it was all I could do to keep from throwing up. And I got a pretty strong stomach. So count your blessings. I don't need to enlarge upon my situation. Count your blessings. So what's the best thing out of all that we've said? Four sermons, I believe, on murmuring. Four or five. Three sermons. Been three sermons on murmuring. We've covered a lot of verses. I'm giving you three simple things to combat it. What is it? Remember you're a slave. Remember you're a nobody. Christ is everything. Remember who you are. Remember your place. And that God has the right to do with you whatever He pleases. Secondly, delight in Christ. Quit looking at your circumstances. Quit looking at you. Quit looking at everybody else. Quit trying to run everything else. Take care of your own life. Work out in your own self that you're delighting in Christ, you're delighting in His cause, and you're delighting in His glory. And then thirdly, count your blessings. Now, we can all do that. I haven't given a huge list of things to do. Let us pray. Father, help us to remember who we are. Help us to remember who You are. And help us to remember what all You've given us. And deliver us from that grumbling spirit, that murmuring spirit that brings destruction in the lives of others as well as our own souls. And we are never happy, can never be happy with You, much less anyone else. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.